Blog Talk Radio.
Some men say the earth is round and some men say it is flat. But if it is round, can a command of the parliament make it flat? And if it is flat, could the king order it to be round? These are the words used by St. Thomas More in defense of himself, representing himself in his own trial for high treason, in which he was accused, of course, of refusing to acknowledge that the king was the head of the church on earth. We all know the outcome. The government separated his head from the rest of his body. But when he was making this argument to the jury, he was, of course, appealing not only to their common sense. Of course the parliament couldn't make a round earth flat. And of course the king couldn't make a flat earth round. He was also appealing to their understanding of the natural law, of the order in things, of the way a divine creature or a force of nature, whether you are religious or secular, created things, and of our need to pursue happiness by complying with the law of nature. He knew what Aristotle and Augustine and Aquinas had written. He could almost anticipate what Locke and Jefferson would write. And Locke, of course, would repeat this, and Jefferson would repeat this as well, that we have natural rights, that they come from our humanity, that they don't come from the government. At least those were the arguments that were made by these wonderful people who advanced this argument of the natural law. When we were a colony, when we were colonies, and the king and the parliament had wanted to raise money, they had ingenious ways of doing so. One of the most offensive was the Stamp Act. Parliament enacted a law that required every piece of paper in your home, every book, every pamphlet, every legal document, even a poster you were going to nail to a tree, have the king's image on it. You think it's rough going to the post office today? You had to go to a foreign post office and buy an image of the king. Question. How did the king and the parliament, 3,000 miles away, know if you had in your home the king's image and every piece of paper? Answer, parliament enacted an abomination called the Townshend Acts, which authorized British soldiers to write their own search warrants. So a British soldier would show up at your house and knock on the door and hand you a piece of paper in which he had authorized himself to come in, ostensibly to look for the stamps. But of course, while there, they might help themselves to food, to alcohol, to furniture. They might even help themselves to the house, which is why we have the Third Amendment, which prohibits quartering troops in a private home against the wishes of the owner. The Stamp Act was really the last straw. It was the only one of the oppressive acts that Parliament actually repealed in an effort to quell the colonists from their rebellious ways. We fought a revolution. We won the revolution. We wrote a constitution. In 1787, they had a great debate, and the debate went back to what Moore said at his trial and what Locke had written and what Aristotle, Augustine, and Aquinas had written. Where do our liberties come from? Do they come from our humanity, or do they come from the government? Hamilton and the big government people at Philadelphia in 1787 said there can be no freedom without government. Government protects freedom, and government knows when to restrict it and when to expand it. And as long as the government is subject to the will of the people, as long as the majority rules, freedom will be safe. Jefferson, who wasn't there but argued through Madison, and Madison directly argued that this was nonsense, that our freedom comes from our humanity, that our right to think as we wish, to say what we think, to publish what we say, to worship or not to worship, our right to defend ourselves, our right to keep and bear arms, our right to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness, our right to be left alone. After the right to life, that's my favorite, the right to be left alone. These rights come from our humanity.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, Ron Golden. And, of course, the Constitution Hour is made possible and brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a Y-S.com. absolutely love the judge, Miss Linda. How can you not love plain old common sense? Pragmatism. It's so lacking today. I'm certain that at some time in history, common sense must have been pretty damned common. But that's clearly not the case today. Now, I would be remiss, I suppose, if I didn't touch for just a moment on the subject of racism. And it will only be a short moment, and only to point out the drastic difference in tone between the Glenn Beck program decrying Mr. Cliven Bundy for his comments and the current program discussing some jerkwad in Los Angeles, I guess, the LA Clippers. Nonetheless, it was a decidedly different tone, and granted, Glenn wasn't there for the show today. Guys, all this racist garbage is just that. It's garbage. It's a whole bunch of PC crap, plain and simple. Quite honestly, the gentleman out in Los Angeles, the owner of the Clippers, is pretty clearly racist against blacks. I understand what he was trying to tell his girlfriend. I don't care if you hang around with these black guys, but don't do it publicly. It makes me look bad. Mr. Cliven Bundy, however, was not making those kind of claims. And there's a distinct difference. One is the owner of a basketball team and a multi-billionaire. The other is an American citizen who's been run roughshod over by his government and by an agenda that has been pushed on this country vigorously since we attended the Rio Summit on Biodiversity in 1992. It's no mistake that Mr. Bundy was sued by the BLM in 1993. And it's also no mistake that they've left that case lay until 2012. And only now are they pursuing it with any kind of vigor, because it suits their agenda. It fits into their plan. As far as the jackwad Al Sharpton, or the jackwad that owns the LA Clippers, or as Mr. Rod Luke points out, the throngs of idiots participating in this knockout game and all this other crap, you know what? You're always going to have idiots and morons running around out in society. We have to be very careful about labeling people and decrying that there must be punishment for their speech. Just because I don't agree with what someone says, or even what they believe, does not mean that I am going to in any way attempt to diminish their right ability to say it. And in fact, I think it's important to allow these people free speech, because it simply exposes them for who they are. And I think that that is a good thing. So that's all I've got to say about that. And I think, the rest of the program, we can talk about something a heck of a lot more important than the race-baiting baloney that is being perpetrated in this country and around the political scheme of things. We're going to see if we can pick up Miss Linda. We're trying to play with our system here, and it appears that it's actually working. It's the first time, I believe, we've been able to make a call. Oh, man, it looks like the call was dropped. Well, it was worth a try. We do have a new feature. Oh, different number. Oh, that's our call-in number. Yeah, absolutely. 646-378-0321 is definitely the our call-in number. So maybe she didn't recognize the number and hung up on me. But anyway, it looks like we've got some new features in the studio, or maybe not new features, but features that'll actually function. So that'll be nice. You know, guys, while everybody's been running around talking about racism, everyone has just about forgotten about the Clive and Bundy thing going on. There's no talk of that in the news anymore. Haven't heard much in the way of Flight 370 lately. But we have heard some more coming out of the Ukraine. And I don't know how many of you saw it or heard it today, but they are going after what I said they would do. They're going after Mr. Putin's. Yeah, I know. I see that, Yola. They're trying to go after Putin's private wealth. And it's interesting because, you know, that's one of those things that's always been considered a no-no. But I don't think anybody bothered to ask how much private wealth Muammar Gaddafi had amassed. Did anyone bother to ask how much private wealth Saddam Hussein had amassed and what may have happened to Saddam's millions, billions? Anybody? Anybody got an idea, a clue? Anybody ever hear any stories about that? I know I sure did. Now, I did post a story that, what was it, 3 days after the Libyan invasion, the Board of Governors said, oh, don't worry, we've got control of the Libyan Central Bank in Qatar. Everything's fine, nothing to worry about. And I've told you consistently and repeatedly, follow the money. It's about the money, and it's about the monetary system. Now, interestingly enough, the scuttlebutt is, or what's being claimed, okay? And here's the thing. What's being claimed about Mr. Putin's wealth is unsubstantiated. No one, and I do mean no one, has been able to prove that he owns anything. And if you follow, and I don't, but I have done a little bit of digging, if you follow Vlad, you will see that he's not really a flashy, big money kind of guy. He's not, you know, you don't see Vlad sporting a lot of bling. You don't see him cruising in the Mercedes or Ferrari or Lamborghinis or any high-end stuff. Always more kind of regular guy type of deal. Now, granted, Putin, I wouldn't in a moment think him as just a regular guy, but he's not into the big flashy, big money that I know of or that we can tell. Interestingly enough, the accusations against Mr. Putin are that he owns substantial interest in specific companies within Russia. Now, I'm sure it wouldn't surprise any of you to hear that these companies that Mr. Putin allegedly is a ghost owner of are two of the largest oil exporters in the world. the single largest natural gas exporter in the world, along with a couple of financial companies that are tied to the gas and oil industry. Isn't that interesting? Now, what do we know about the dollar and our monetary system and what it's based on here in the United States? What do we know about that from listening to the Constitution Hour and reading and maybe even going to places like Von Mises Institute? We know that there's this little thing called the petrodollar, and that the oil, crude oil specifically, is what gives us the reserve currency status that is required for our banking system to put the shackles upon other countries, other nations. So it should come as no surprise at all to see the United States putting out these sanctions. Hey, Doc, good to see you on. And Mr. Rod Luke, welcome in. Glad to have you guys tonight. So, you know, I had talked about this previously before they even actually put any sanctions on. There were murmurings of sanctions. We talked about this, and I told you they're going to put out monetary sanctions. And then the Russians countered by saying, well, gee, if you lock up all of our dollar-denominated assets, we won't be able to repay any of our dollar-denominated loans. Well, that's okay, because the Ukrainians will pay them for you. And we're going to send the money to the Ukrainians so that they make sure that they have the money to pay them. It's just a scam. They're trying to put pressure on the Russians and, in a roundabout way, the Chinese. This is nothing more than a currency play, guys. It has been a currency play from the start, and Mr. Putin, I do believe, is winning, in part because Europe and the United States have put themselves into quite a pickle. That's not to say that the U.S. and the central banking system in the United States can't win out in the end. It can. And that win may well come from, first, a financial collapse, which I believe is what they're orchestrating and why this is being pushed and promoted more now than it was previously. And let's face it, I've been watching the financial markets and what's going on in our monetary system for quite some time. And I've been telling you for a long time, it's coming. We don't know when. It's kind of like, the return of Christ. No one knows the hour, but it is coming. And when you see these things, know the hour is at hand. Well, we're seeing a lot of those things. And I'm not talking about the second coming. I'm talking about, of course, the monetary situation. And I think if we just pay attention to what's going on and what's in play, because quite honestly, you have to understand something. And this is really it's not easy for mere mortals to recognize. You see, the Ukrainian people are expendable. They're just resources. The Russian also are expendable. They're merely resources. Any American troops, any American involvement, any NATO involvement, any military troops involved in any of this stuff are expendable. They're simply resources. They are a means to an end. And when you have people believing in nationalism, they will fight and die believing they are fighting and dying for God and country, when in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. They're fighting and dying for monetary supremacy in a global market. That's truly what's going on. If you don't think so, then you're naive. and you haven't been paying attention. It's difficult to get past all of that ingrained teaching. It's so ingrained and indoctrinated into us that we don't know any better. And that's to our own detriment. But I think folks around the world are beginning to wake up. I think people are starting to recognize the truth of the whole thing. I saw a great article today from Washington's blog, The Biggest Secret About Banking Gone Mainstream. We've pointed out for 4.5 years that banks create money out of thin air. Well, gee, since 2010, I guess they were a little behind the eight ball, but better late than never. Specifically, it has now been conclusively proven that loans come first and then deposits follow. This is the most important secret about modern banking because it debunks one of the biggest myths preventing a strong economy, challenges one of the main pork barrel profit centers for big banks, and opens up incredible opportunities for a prosperous economy. This odd and counterintuitive but critically important truth has now gone mainstream. Specifically, in the Financial Times, Martin Wolf, one of the world's most influential mainstream financial writers, says that since banks create money out of thin air, they should be stripped of this power and limited to normal depository functions. Wolf indicates that the centrality and importance of the issue with his subtitle, "The Giant Hole at the Heart of Our Market Economies," needs to be plugged. Boy, he said a mouthful there, and it couldn't be any more accurate. It is absolutely true. And one of the things that Jefferson warned about quite vigorously. Now, don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that I have more faith in Congress to create money than I do the Federal Reserve. One is simply an arm of the other. Actually, I would say that the Federal Reserve is the head, Congress is the body, and the Federal Reserve is pulling the strings, if you will, and that dictates to Congress what our policy will be. It's kind of crazy to watch what's going on over in the Ukraine. And of course, if you're relying on mainstream media for your information, well, then it's pretty damned suspect. Granted, the alternative media is also suspect. And, you know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt, and you need to research as much as you can to find out the truth. The truth can be very elusive, and it may not be that the folks that are reporting things that are going on, it may not be that they're trying to deceive you. They may be deceived themselves, and they just simply don't know what the truth is, and it can be very difficult to get to. You know, one of the things, we go back and look, World War One, and we look at the situation that led up to World War One. And aside from all of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand by a rogue Serbian, there's larger things at play. And the two main rivals in that conflict were Germany and Great Britain. And that was a rivalry that had been building since the 1800s. There were agreements in place for mutual defense with countries like Italy, France, Germany, Austria-Hungary. So some interesting connections and ties behind the scenes. But make no mistake about it, it wasn't about one leader being assassinated. It was about much more than that. And it wasn't much different, quite honestly, than the political and monetary wrangling that we see going on right now. Much of what led up to World War I was actually about expanding empire, creating new territories. There's not much of that going on these days because pretty much all the property on the face of the planet's been spoken for. But it doesn't mean that these countries that get into financial obligations that they cannot meet can't be purchased cheaply by the highest bidder with money created out of thin air. First come the loans, then the deposits roll in. That's what's going on in the Ukraine. Make no mistake about it. It is definitely a monetary game. And now we have Miss Linda Sills calling in. How are you, Miss Linda?
Pretty good. How's it going? When you called before, I just couldn't get to my phone soon enough, so I don't know what happened. But I don't know whether it's just dropped.
You know. So. Yeah, it kicked it. You know, it may only let it ring so many times or something. But
right.
I'm hoping the sound quality is good out there for everybody with the
it is.
Kind of a new setup, but I like it. I like it.
So how did it work? Like it. Tell me what you did.
Oh, when you come into the studio, you
uh-huh.
know, there's a microphone icon.
Right.
You just click on the microphone icon. It pops up a little window. And ask you if you want to allow and click allow and poof, it dials and says when you're ready to start your show, press one, you're gone. You're there.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm liking it.
Deal. It sounds great. I'll have to check it out on Wednesday. Hopefully it'll work.
Just put a piece of tape over your camera, you know, so they can't see you.
Well, so you have to have your Skype plugged in?
No, it doesn't use Skype. It's all done in the studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's like
so,
Zynga.
Yeah, my camera's usually
Zynga's.
Not plugged. Yeah, I don't plug mine in. I don't trust anybody from spying on me in the middle of the night anyway. So,
yeah. Mine's built into the computer, which is why I said just put a little piece of tape over it. You know.
There you go. Who knows what they're doing? Yeah. Well, it's funny when you're talking about the monetary stuff and dealing with, you know, World War III and Russia, you know, you're right. This is being maneuvered. I mean, this we've seen this game played before, and these poor kids, you know, who knows how many they're going to lose, you know, in blood and treasure this time. It's horrible. It's just and you're right about the winning and losing. You know, we've got some evil people running this country on our own. Who probably are involved in worrying about the economic collapse.
Well, and, you know, there's so many things that I could cover tonight.
Right.
Yeah, black electrical tape, absolutely, Bill. You know, but this is one of the things that from the very outset of my program, when I first came on to Patriot Families, when we very first got on to Blog Talk mm-hmm. Radio, and I know going back over all the audio clips, I've got to sound like a broken record. I'm sure I do. But, folks, it is the one thing that will never fail to give you the right direction if you follow
right.
the money system.
Because it's such
all
a driving
need,
force. It's a, that's,
it
I mean,
is
every...
the center of their deal.
Right.
It's the absolute center of control. And if you can't see that is the mechanism of control, even for the bigwigs, when mm-hmm. they get out of line, What are they doing to Vladimir Putin and the Russians?
Cutting off
they
their
are
money
pushing,
supply.
They're trying to choke off their money supply. Now,
right.
I'm
right.
sorry, but that's what they're doing. They're messing with their money, plain and simple.
Well,
and they're trying
they
to make life difficult.
Do more harm to these people or get them to fall in line better if they would open up all of our drilling and everything else and reverse what the schmuck's been doing for the last 6 years as far as the EPA and the coal-fired plants and the fracking and everything else and the Keystone. You know what I mean? That would throw a huge monkey wrench into all of these idiots in the Middle East, including Putin from Russia. And whatever...
Well, I don't...
Because...
Yeah,
I
don't know,
you know
that it would. It's
well, it
nice
might
to,
give them
it's
pause.
Nice to speculate. Yeah, it's nice to speculate, but the only thing that would throw a wrench in the works of the others that would be
mm-hmm.
to actually have a strong dollar and a booming economy. And
true.
I got news for you.
We could
that's
do both
not
with
happen.
That type of with if we opened up our reserves and did what we get, you know, abolished the EPA, we'd have a strong economy, Ron. And then if we had an honest, of course, then you got to have the hard money, so, you know, backing everything too.
Well, you have to get government. You've got to get government entirely out of the way, and
out
let
of everything.
People actually
you bet.
Produce.
Oh my God!
That's where true growth, true economic
comes
security,
from.
And true economic growth comes from productive activities. Producing
right.
something
so,
useful, not producing something useless like government.
and more programs and more social welfare, which is what's happening here in my state. I mean, I'm going to cover a lot of this on my show on Wednesday, but you cannot believe the proposals
are you,
that are coming from Sacramento.
Are you going to be one of the water watchers out there?
Well, it's not just we have that problem too. Plus, we have the issue right here in Oceanside City Council regarding one of the water pump stations here in Oceanside for our stuff to get water to, you know, to the people in their homes. Now, that's one aspect of it. We've got all these water districts and the north and south fight that's been going on since 1900. I mean, this is what I fight in this mess. This state is hemorrhaging jobs like somebody just cut a main artery. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, and there's a damn good reason for it, because the draconian measures and their socialist Marxist ideas they are so dogmatic about
well,
it, Ron. There's no fixing it. I mean, without a couple well placed bullets. don't get upset at us. I'm not.
Well, no, but the thing is, and you and I understand, and I think some of our listeners understand, that what we're seeing today, you know, we've talked for the last, what, two decades now about outsourcing jobs. But if
right.
we've done a little research, we understand that the outsourcing truly began in earnest under a program that was pushed and pleaded for by Ronald Reagan when he asked the Senate to confirm the UNIDO treaty
yes.
through the United Nations, which is the United Nations Industrial Development Organization,
mm-hmm.
which is a really fundamental way of saying we're going to take American taxpayers' tax money and use it to fund building factories and infrastructure in third world countries so that they can become part of the global marketplace. And then another thing that we had to have come along under William Jefferson Clinton was NAFTA. And, you know,
right.
so many people forgot in the 2012 presidential campaign that Mr. Newt Gingrich was instrumental in getting and securing NAFTA and the GATT
right.
treaties. These free trade agreements are
I
nothing
know.
More than creating interdependence, meaning that
mm-hmm.
we take a lot of our farm produce, our food
right.
that we produce here in the United States, and it's exported to other countries, and we in turn import tons of food products from other countries like Mexico and Chile and Argentina and China. And so we become dependent on the food production of other nations. Why? Because all of ours is spoken for. And then we have the water issue that's occurring right now and the land issue. There have been land issues. The land use, if we go back to, and I wish to God I had it in front of me because I'd love to read it for Doc, because I know he and I disagree on the Bundy thing, and that's okay. I'm not here to kick rocks or start an argument. But the Supreme Court overruled well over 100 years of precedent under the common law, 1891. Prior to 1891, the Supreme Court had ruled consistently that the public lands in the West were to be used for the public, including specifically to fatten cattle, to feed people and allow ranchers to, you know, raise more cattle. It was held as a right because the government, as much as it exists only to hold that property in trust. They weren't going to sell that property to the individuals. Then they were obligated to allow its use, and they specifically ruled on grazing cattle as one of those uses that was a right of an American citizen. And it wasn't until 1891 that they overturned that, and that was in large part with the expansion and the railways and the gold boom and everything else. You know, you realize that the entire California gold rush, most of that property was open range, federal property.
Wow.
And there was a procedure. You had to go down and you had to file a claim.
Huh.
And you had to stake your claim. It had to be marked, you know. But that was your claim. Now, that was public land. And all that gold was mined.
You know, it's funny because...
on public land.
When you're talking about the grazing of the cattle and, you know, the rulings of the courts up till that date, because I just put together a piece because we're going to have a meeting on May 15th at the City Council Chambers, another one of those Delphi Vision meetings, you know, where they have predetermined outcomes.
Sure.
And the one that I sent my scathing email to the last time probably doesn't want to see my face. Oh, too bad. But I put together this page and a half deal, and I'm going to make copies and hand it out to everybody at this meeting, and then I'll be speaking publicly on it. And one of the things that I had to go through was my Agenda 21 file, talking about good old Maurice Strong and Alexander King and their little blurbs about sustainable development, how they were going to do this. And they said that they needed a common enemy to unite us, and that would be, and he was saying, you know, all this water shortages, the global warming, the you know, famine, all these things. They were going to utilize this fear tactic, Belen, saying that we, you know, humanity is the actual enemy of the earth. And Maurice Strong was saying that all of these things, such as air conditioning, high meat intake of the upper middle class is unsustainable, among other things, in his little diatribe. I mean, this
well,
is very specific stuff.
It will be if we can't graze cattle anymore, won't it?
Yeah, I mean.
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And,
know,
you know,
there's
so
no
many
common
things.
Sense.
There's so many things that feed into this stuff. And I can remember back in 2007, right, that there was this new law being signed by Bush, and it was a gun law. It was even backed by the NRA. And I was shouting from the rooftops about it, And everyone said, oh, man, there's, you know, one of my guys that I worked with read it. And, and it was very short, just a couple, you know, one paragraph. And he says, well, I don't see anything wrong in that. That's just, you know, heck, most of it doesn't have anything to do with guns. It's, you know, allowing access to medical records so that the police can help you if you're, you know, in an emergency or whatever. And I said, yeah, you think that's so that they can help you, huh? Well, I'll tell you what, that's not the case. And so here we are today, and I have this article, psychiatrist are the new federal gun control agents and political thought police.
Jesus.
And there's a great picture of Thomas Jefferson on the left and Barack Hussein Obama on the right. Now, Jefferson says, people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty.
Right.
And then on the other side, Obama is saying, they'll warn that tyranny is always lurking just around the corner. You should reject these voices. And that was just a year ago that he made that comment. So the Obama the article goes on. The Obama administration has a new partner in crime, and it's the American Psychiatric Association, the APA. The APA created the new Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 5th edition, which was recently adopted. DSM-5 is highly controversial and has sparked outrage from the mental health practitioners. As many of these practitioners point out, the new DSM makes a pathology out of simple and normal behaviors, such as grieving for the loss of a loved one. This constitutes a new subjective approach in diagnosing mental illness that promises to end free speech and any form of political dissent. The federal government has already declared anyone who opposes its unconstitutional policies as having political paranoia, which is now diagnosed as a type of mental illness.
Does that
psychiatry
apply to Harry Reid too?
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. but, I mean, we've seen the buildup to this and political schizophrenia.
God.
Oh, yeah. Look. You know, you go back to this crap with the diagnostic manual, and there's been a lot of information put out there. When they allowed the psychiatric field to come up with a diagnostic manual that allows for the prescription of drugs for all manner of disorders that they dream up. It legitimized psychiatry as a diagnostic tool. And so when you have a law that says, you know, that the police have the right to access your medical records, and several, what was it? Well, I don't know, one or two political administrations beforehand, they pass a gun ban, and they sunset all of the provisions of that gun ban except for a couple. And one of the provisions that doesn't sunset is one where you lose your right under the Second Amendment if you have been legally adjudicated mentally defective. And a new law that comes along that says if you've been clinically diagnosed with a mental disorder.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Now, you have the right to appeal, and that appeals process can take up to 2 years. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you can lose the right to keep and bear arms, number one, it's not much of a right, but especially if you can lose it for a clinical diagnosis by some charlatan that is going
so
to now include in this diagnostic manual political schizophrenia or political paranoia.
I just have two words, Molan Labe. They can just pound us. I can't. You know what? It's time to start whatever's going to happen. It's disgusting. I don't understand why people are, yeah, like the clip that you played with the judge, you have to make that determination and understand that your rights either come from God or they don't, and you're going to be subject to the will of these schmucks, like total slaves and total serfs. That's what they want to do. And anyone that can't see it, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. Boxcars next to your front door? You know?
Well, pretty soon, anyone that believes in the words of the Declaration of Independence will be mentally defective because you believe that your rights don't come from government.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's time to throw them all out of there. I don't see any hope for it. I just don't.
You know, every day that passes, I question the sanity of the phrase that government is a necessary evil.
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't seem very necessary
anymore.
If evil is
necessary, you know. Yeah, if evil is necessary, I suppose in a balanced world we must have both, then I suppose that's accurate. But, boy, sometimes it's really difficult to agree with that. And,
I know, and
you know,
trying our souls. It is definitely trying our souls.
if you have never seen the movie The Matrix, you have got to watch that movie. It was on last night, actually.
Oh, dang. I did miss it.
With Keanu Reeves. And, you know, it's interesting because one of the agents in the movie is interrogating Morpheus. And he says, you know, this is the third version of the Matrix. He said, we tried to create for you a perfect world where everyone was happy. And there was no strife and no sadness and everything. He said, and your species rejected it. You wouldn't believe it. So they had to create the third matrix was they had created a virtual reality based on 1999 in America. Basically what it is it's a computer program. That,
right.
You know, they have this cable stuck in the back of your head. And so you're not really doing anything. It's all in your mind. You are being used as a battery by the machines.
they're
harvesting
right.
your body heat and the electrical impulses. So you're nothing more than literally a battery. And it's kind of funny because they give away little hints in the movie that, you know, there's one scene where they get him in the back of a car, and one of the girls, and she says, "Listen here, Copper Top," and you know he's not a redhead or he doesn't have sandy. He's got black hair, so that doesn't quite make sense, but it does now because she's calling him a battery, and you just don't know it until later in the movie.
Oh my gosh!
But it's they say that the truth is stranger than fiction. And it really is when you stop and think about it. And if you watch The Matrix, and I know Bill is saying he's seen them all, and I have too, and I still think the first one is without a doubt the best, The Matrix. Not Reloaded or any of that, just the very first movie. Because it makes you recognize out in a different scenario, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, they're literally using you as an actual battery. But metaphorically, that's exactly what we are today.
What's going on?
We are human resources. We are little Duracell batteries.
And
each one of us doing our part to keep. Yeah, each one doing our part to keep this whole damn thing afloat.
Because too many of us is unsustainable. Yeah, it's disgusting.
You want to talk about
mental disorder? If that's not a mental disorder, I'd like to know what you call it. Wow. I mean, everything that these people proscribe, you know, get behind, it's crazy. It's the Georgia Guidestones, it's all of the above. They are Gaia worshippers, and they're all in lockstep. It's statism. And then you've got the offshoots like the Bloombergs, and he's got Every Town, you know, Mothers Against Guns and this and that and the other. Oh, I believe me, I go to their little websites and give them all kinds of hell. But and I'm glad others are too. I know Dana lashed out at some stupid idiot libtard the other day. I mean, we've got to fight these people. And I see it happening. I see people waking up, like you said, in the parts of Europe and other places. They're starting to see it, that they are being used as batteries. So hopefully the Great Awakening has begun, because it needs it.
Yep, and it's good to see that people are starting to actually understand it. They get it. You know,
yeah.
You're seeing the light bulbs go on here and there. And it's good to know that, you know, it's nice to know that we're not alone, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, like out in
you
space.
You know, I'm not crazy by myself. I have company.
You have good company.
You know,
not to worry.
I'm not the only insane one. Yeah, I'm not the only insane one out there. There are others that
I went to
are just as crazy.
Church again on Sunday, and the previous one, I had loaned one of the books that I finished, because Karen was this gal that's one of the parishioners, and she had known that I was into Agenda 21 and all these things, and she says, and I told her about the book that I was reading by Rosa Curie, and I had finished it, and she says, oh, I'd love to borrow it. So I went ahead and let her borrow it. She's going to give it back to me next week, and she's been telling all of her friends, and she says, now my people want to order like 10 or 15 books. More people are interested in learning about this stuff. So all I did was drop one pebble in the water, and it's starting to spread, which is just amazing. So I'm happy. At least gets going.
Yep. Exactly. You know, and then you feel like, man, that was a sense of accomplishment. And, you know, then you get to this point where you start to talk to people, and they used to, you know, I used to get it all the time. One of my friends would tell me, he's like, man, you need to slow down. You know, you hit somebody, it's like somebody trying to get a drink out of a fire hydrant. You're drowning them with information.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You
got
to let them breathe
true.
A little bit, you know, but you're so excited and enthused to get people up to speed as quick as possible. And it's just, there's a lot to take in, and it's it is impossible.
It is hard because, I've been studying this 5.5 years, and so I have to remember to slow down, because it took a long time for me to grasp it this far, you know, and it's true, but it's like the problem is, because I forget that they don't know, and I say, why can't they see this? Why can't they see this? It's because they're completely clueless, and it's, I guess, part of my calling to try to at least paint a picture for them and connect some dots, and that's what I've been trying to do. So I'm hoping this next meeting that some people will get it. If two in the crowd gets it out of 40, I'll be happy.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Awesome stuff. And to me, you know, the monetary stuff, that's what I really dubbed that quicker than anything.
Sure.
And it made perfect sense to me. And it does make perfect sense, and I can see it. And it is the main vehicle that is used to control people. And it doesn't matter if you're some billionaire, you know, living in New York, or if you're just a peon living in the country, or if you're Vladimir Putin.
Right.
The way they're going to try and control you and get you to do what they want is to mess with your livelihood, your money, your ability to maintain any kind of a lifestyle.
Especially, and now that's what's happening with individuals, and it's not just the ranchers. It's people who just have property, where these clowns and the EPA and the open space people and the Agenda 21 people want to preserve whatever they're preserving, so they can control everybody and make sure that humans aren't going to be on that land. And it's evil stuff. And it's happening everywhere. And people, you know, they can't afford to fight these guys. So my thing is, why, you know, because it's so Leviathan, especially D.C., where you've got idiots. 99% of them are complete idiots, and they sit there. Mark Levin called them the French Republicans, because it's true, and I thought that was funny. like Boehner. I mean, and McConnell, it's true, and that's what they do. They sit there and talk a great game, But do you see anyone defunding the Planned Parenthood or the EPA? No, I don't. And this stupid Jenny McCarthy running around like a dictator? No, of course not. That's what just.
I don't even think that they talk in this game.
And they won't pull the purse strings. And they, if you want to talk about control, you damn well could control those people as you're trying to get ready to shred their documents and eliminate them completely, as far as I'm concerned, because they're not doing any good. They're doing harm. And they're
I don't even think they talk a good game.
Some of them do, but yeah, most of them don't. Not anymore. I mean,
when is the last time you saw any of the ruling class, and by the ruling class I mean Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, John Boehner, any of the higher ups in that whole group? You know, I'm not talking about the Rand Pauls and the Ted Cruzes.
Right.
I'm talking about the muckety mucks. When have you heard any of them come out and string together two sentences that was coherent enough to make any damn sense whatsoever?
Not any of them. And you've got Boehner, who's pushing for this immigration reform, along with people like Eric Cantor and Paul Ryan. And then you've got John McShane and Lindsey Graham and what's the other one, Mitch McConnell, whom I hope Matt Bevin wipes the floor with this time around. And there's others. There's a lot of good guys out there. But all these people, they're the French Republicans, and they do nothing to help. They do everything to stab us in the back. That's who they are.
French Republicans, would that make them the bourgeois class?
I just know that. I think he meant because they keep waving the white flag of surrender so often. I'm pretty sure that's what he meant.
No, I understand that was what he meant. But, I mean, you know, that can be taken out of context in a different manner as well.
Oy. It's nuts. I know.
The whole thing is crazy, what's going on in this country. And, you know, politically, the winds of change that are blowing around.
Well, there's the Matt Bevins, and there's other people that are going up against these guys, and they're nervous, and I'm glad they're nervous.
See, I'm still floored in my mind that we managed to elect a president named Barack Hussein Obama.
After 9/11.
While we're in the midst of this quote-unquote war on terror against radical terrorists who aren't really affiliated with Islam at all. You know, we can't say that. Regardless of what color the guy is, I could give a damn less.
Yeah,
it just blows me away.
Kind of multicolored, you know. He's got them all. He's got half black, half white, and he's got that red thing on his face with a sickle and hammer. Kind of goldish.
It just signifies how far down the path of stupidity we have traveled, that purely on PC, and you know, the guy can give a good speech. Don't get me wrong. The guy can spread the horse manure. Pretty damn good. Almost as good as Slick Willie, but not quite. But he just tickles the ears and tells them what they want to hear, and without saying a whole lot of substance. And Doc's right. Not once, but twice we've elected this guy. Now, meanwhile, boys and girls, all this time, we're fighting a war on terror, a global war on terror. And the way that you fight a modern war on terror, evidently, is that you supply material support and monetary support to the terrorists that you're fighting a war on.
And then
that's how you fight this war.
You bring the enemy within to the White House walls and to all of these high positions that are members of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's what else you do. And
Did you hear over the weekend, God, what show was it I was listening to? And it may have been Friday on the way home in the car. And I heard it for the first time, and I'm like, I thought, do what? They are differentiating now Al-Qaeda from the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is the non-militant arm of Islam, and they have sworn a vow against jihad and against using terrorist tactics against the West. Now, I heard this report, and I almost pulled the car over. And I haven't time to really check into it, but it was the first time I'd heard it iterated on the radio.
Oh, my God.
And it was on the local, it was a local WSB radio. I wasn't listening to my Sirius satellite. So I think they're affiliated with CNN, if I'm not mistaken, or CBS, one of the two. It's Clear Channel. But I heard that and I thought, when did this happen? That we've had this change of heart with the Muslim Brotherhood. And of course, knowing that there has been a large infiltration of Muslim Brotherhood in our government, and knowing that Muslim Brotherhood was something that was created with a loan from the Suez Canal Company from the British, and was nurtured all after World War II by our own CIA. And we provided funding. And in fact, when, what was his name? The guy in Egypt, Nasser, when Nasser went after the Muslim Brotherhood, they found safe haven in the U.S.'s Muslim arm, Saudi Arabia.
Jeez.
And you know, we knew damn good and well what they were doing. They were building universities with the blessings of the king of Saudi Arabia, who was getting money from us. We had a nice cozy relationship with the Saudis. And we had a very cozy relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood. Hell, we helped the Muslim Brotherhood establish a banking system for the Muslim world.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about the 9/11 and the jihad and the crazy clowns that were flying planes around, and then these idiots elect this clown with this horrible sounding name, well, some of these low or no information voters are so stupid, they wouldn't know his name from Adam, and they don't even know who the hell Biden is. I mean, that's what you get. You know what I'm saying? They just check the box because this one's got a teleprompter. Far, far left, like Axelrod and Valerie Jarrett, by the way, those people wouldn't know who I was talking about there either, writing these speeches for his stupid teleprompter, without which he can't utter a word. Because I think he's an imbecile. I hate him. Sorry.
Well, but he did try to throw out the first pitch at the White Sox game. I thought that was
that was funny. Oh, that was funny. I hope you all.
I thought that was awesome. I posted that on our forum, and I got a little bit of grief from two of our resident Democrats, but the rest of the guys thought it was freaking hilarious. So.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, if I could get that one back again, I'll have to put it on Facebook. There's a few people that loathe both of those people.
Bill said pitiful is what it was. Sir, they said they wanted you to throw out the first pitch. Anyway, I thought it was a pretty funny joke.
That was good.
And then, of course, you know, my resident Democrat on the forum accused me of being racist, and I thought, really? There wasn't any mention in there of anything remotely having to do with, you know, Kenya or, you know, Chicago, the White Sox. Maybe that was it. I don't know. I tell you, we have politically corrected ourselves into a freaking corner in this country, and it's just, it's time for common sense. Come back,
I agree
God
with
sakes.
You. Yeah, I'm glad you played the judge because he's got plenty of it. And he's very learned in the Constitution. He gets it. I mean, and I love hearing him talk because he's right. I mean, 9 times out of 10, he's gets it. So.
Oh, absolutely. But that's because he looks at it from the standpoint of you start with the principles that the
yes.
country was founded on, the founding
right.
ideology. And then you move forward from there. And everything in the law
it
has
flows,
to be
right.
viewed through
that
lens. You know,
because that's the Jeffersonian. That's also the James Madison people, you know, as far as private property. The people who actually go through that lens, that there is a creator, this is where the rights come from, and you cannot take them away. And they do not come from some damn body of government. They just don't. So that's what we have to keep telling each other.
I got the two of the atheists on the forum that I hang out at. I got two of them just stirred up right proper.
Uh-oh.
Because I posted a question. Is God the basis for our law?
Right, right.
Well, of course, they went on a tirade, and I knew they would, which was partly why I asked it. And one of them did exactly what I knew he would do. And so I posted up Genesis 1:26, and it says, of course, God said, "Let us create man in our image, and we will give man dominion over the earth and over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the cattle and everything that crawls and creeps upon the earth." So God's setting up there in Genesis 1:26 that he's creating man in the image of God and
mm-hmm.
giving man dominion over
yeah.
all the earth, all the animals of the earth. But you'll notice something that God didn't give man dominion over: other men.
Right.
That was not in there. And then I posted part of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all
mm-hmm.
men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that governments are instituted among men, deriving their just authority from the consent of the governed. And I said, now isn't that interesting? God granted man dominion over the entire earth, but he didn't grant man dominion over man. And here's our Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson, recognizing that man is created, and man's creator endowed or gifted man with certain rights. Just the mere existence of a human being evidences those rights. And nowhere did it say that man had dominion over other men. In fact, it said all men are created equal.
Right.
And that, wait a minute, government doesn't have dominion over man either, because government is a creation of man. And the only way government can have dominion over man is if man consents to it. Isn't that an interesting concept? Gee, I wonder where he might have gotten the idea for that. Couldn't have been, you know, the first account written in Genesis, right? And then they went on to tell me that Jefferson wasn't a Christian. He was a deist. And I said, really? So do you have any evidence to validate your claim, or is this simply your opinion? And, of course, 3 or 4 claims later, I posted a letter from Thomas Jefferson to one of his acquaintances that said, "Dear sir, I am writing concerning our conversations that we used to have in 1798 and 1799 about Christianity. And I had told you that one day or other I would expound my opinion on the matter, but the turmoil that currently threatened our country did not allow me to do so." And I'm paraphrasing part of Jefferson's letter. He said, "I am a Christian in the only sense that he required, and I hold dear the doctrines and teachings of Jesus Christ." And I said, so here you've claimed that Jefferson is a deist, and he's not a Christian, and he couldn't have written a document that had anything to do with Christianity or Christian principles. And he was in no way, you know, there's, he might as well have been, he would have more likely referenced Muhammad than he would Yahweh. And so I posted this excerpt from this letter, and he says, well, can you provide a citation, or are you just hoping to throw enough BS at the wall that something will stick? And I said, well, what was it you said? 30 seconds and Google, too much work for you? You know, I'm sorry. So what was really great is he then posted a couple of links to belabor his point that Jefferson was not a Christian. And within the link or the article, there was a link, and it linked to another letter from Jefferson saying that, you know, despite all of the bad things that people want to imbue me with, calling me an atheist and an infidel, I am a Christian. And I'm rolling on the floor. So I excerpt that. And he also had in that link the excerpt of the letter that I put up. So I clipped both of those, and I said, wow, thanks for the link. I used it. Evidently you didn't, because you just proven my point. Here's two excerpts from the link you posted. Thanks.
Oh my God.
It burns them up. It burns them up to believe that Jefferson and the founders believed one of two things. And they believed it pretty fervently. Number one, Jefferson believed that, you know, man is created, that we have a creator, and that creator is superior to man, that the created is subservient or less than the creator. Now, that creator could be the God of the Bible, or if you choose, it could just be nature and the consequence of your being here. That's your prerogative. As Jefferson said before, it does me no injury if my neighbor has one God or 20 gods or no God at all. It doesn't pick my pocket. It doesn't break my bones. So
exactly.
Who am I to force my thoughts and beliefs on him? Nobody. That's not my prerogative, because as I believe, I have a creator God, and he didn't give me that authority. So how can I presume to take that authority for myself? Now, granted, he didn't think that blacks were equal to whites as far as on the human ladder. That's a whole nother argument and a whole nother debate, you know? So then I get the, there isn't a church around today that would let Jefferson in the door because he denied the divinity of Christ, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, so now we're going to put qualifiers in here on what constitutes a Christian. The question was, is God the basis for our law? It's pretty straightforward. And you can argue what denotes a Christian or what doesn't, how you got to qualify to be one. You know, that's your thing, man. But it doesn't have anything to do with the damn question that I asked. And we get off chasing these rabbit holes.
My God.
You know, it's crazy the lengths people will go to convince themselves that the truth isn't the truth.
I know. Did you happen to hear Al Nosso Sharpton today calling for the firing of this guy from the Clippers? And
I did not.
The guy broke the FBI laws.
Drug dealer Sharpton.
Yeah, that one.
He did break a law. He spoke ill of people of color, and that's against the law.
Oh, it is. Oh boy.
It's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those pre-crime things. It's actually probably a hate crime. I think we got Joe Biden here to. He was talking to the. That was Smoking Joe right there with his shotgun. You got to watch out for that guy. He can come up at any moment. You just never know when that guy's going to show up. He's
crazy.
He's crazy with that damn shotgun. You know, that's an assault weapon shotgun that he's got. It's a real deal. That's a high capacity pump shotgun. You know, not just anybody can own one of those. And you got to be careful. Those damn things can go. Those things can just jump up and start shooting people at a, with no notice, no warning at all. Those things are dangerous. You got to keep them locked up.
Oh God, I know who needs to be locked up. Oh, in a loony bin.
Yeah, in a rubber room. Yes, yes, ma'am. I agree. We can agree with that one. Absolutely.
Yeah, these guys.
Oh my.
I'm going to let you wrap this up, and I'm going to go take care of getting in the chat room, and I'm looking forward to buying my tickets next month for Delaney and figuring it out. So we'll have a blast. I wish you could be there, but we'll get you on Skype one way or another.
I'm distraught that I can't be there. This whole stupid company fishing trip thing is really torquing me off, but it is what it is. We'll get another, we'll have another get together, and I'll be at the next one, by golly, come hell or high water, and we might have both of those by then. Thanks for calling in, Miss Linda.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Guys, I put together a new little promo clip, so I'm going to play that right now just to make sure it's working and everybody gets to hear it. Hey, everybody. We just wanted to thank you for tuning in tonight for the Constitution Hour and every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here at PatriotFamilies.com. And I'd also like to invite you to stop in on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for the Hoot and Holler Show. And on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast. And on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for our very own Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. Also on Thursday nights at 9 p.m., you should be tuning in to Mikey B. and the Higher Truth Radio. I'd like to also invite you, if you're not already a member, to stop by our website, join up, become a member, become one of our family. That's PatriotFamiliesWithAYS.com. Hope to see you there. Well, hopefully that is a little bit better than what we had previously and came through loud and clear, I take it. So, wow. Boy, everybody's typing in what I was trying to type in. Good deal. Glad the audio came through great. Glad that we've got some listeners in the house tonight. Mr. Doc, Mr. Bill Strong, Mr. Holger, or Mrs., but I think it was Mr., Miss Linda, Miss Yola, Nick. And I know we lost Lonnie. He had to take off, and Mr. Rod Luke has had to vacate the building as well. Guys, interesting stuff going on out there right now. Keep your eye on what's going on, Mr. Holger. Thank you very much, or Holger. Interesting stuff going on over in the Ukraine, and in particular with this shuffling around, trying to put specific, pinpointed, targeted sanctions on Mr. Putin, which, by the way, is kind of a no-no, or has been a no-no. But, you know, the rules, they are a-changing. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We haven't had a great run in the stock market of late, and the U.S. dollar continues to get the socks beat off of it. And I think we're going to continue seeing that trend for some time. And I wanted to mention one other thing before I take off tonight. I couldn't put my finger on it, and I'm still not 100% sold. Got a sneaking suspicion, a hunch or a feeling, if you will, that the one thing that we may see as the big shock to the U.S. financial system, you know, we've all been sold since 2007 that these banks are too big to fail. Remember, we've been told these banks, well, they're too big to fail. I believe, and if I'm right, I will be proven right. So remember, you heard this here first. I believe that J.P. Morgan Chase is being maneuvered for a failure. And just the news of J.P. Morgan failing would be a huge blow to the American financial system. And not that I would cry over that outcome. There are several things that make me believe that that's what's going on. It'll be interesting to see how this unfolds in the next months and years. But I'm telling you right now, I'm pretty sure that they are positioning J.P. Morgan to be a failure. Purely for psychological impact. That's what I see. I could be wrong. I've been wrong a couple of times before. Who is they? Well, you know, that's a good question. Who is they? Because they would have to be on the inside at J.P. Morgan to be making some of these moves. And that would almost be counterintuitive. You would think that, you know, Jamie Dimon and others, you know, folks on the higher ups within J.P. Morgan would be positioning J.P. Morgan to fail. But I guess that depends on whether or not you've got outside bets against J.P. Morgan. But there's been some strange things that have happened. Well, actually, yes, George Soros, and there's been some news of late that Soros and a few other billionaires are dumping their shares of U.S. financial institutions. And I mean a lot, not just a little bit. But, you know, J.P. Morgan for the longest time had humongous short positions in the gold and in the silver bullion markets. J.P. Morgan has recently sold one of their buildings, the one that's directly across from the New York Federal Reserve, and just happens to have the largest bullion vault in the world underground under the J.P. Morgan building. J.P. Morgan has also reversed its positions. So you have this large financial institution that has done a complete 180 degrees from its previous position in the bullion markets. So much so that they actually represent the ability to corner the market on gold, which is a big deal. But the bigger deal would be, why would they make such a huge position change? Because I don't believe they've changed their derivatives positions. So it's just kind of curious to me. And I'm still watching what's going on, but it'll just be interesting, I think, to see what happens with J.P. Morgan in the future, and I think probably the next 6 to 12 months, but who knows for sure. And we've seen a lot of news stories where Morgan has just been getting hammered by the administration and the Securities and Exchange Commission. They've been under 6 separate investigations on 6 separate fraud charges. We had the whole LIBOR rigging scandal that went on as well that actually touched J.P. Morgan. So there's a lot of stuff in the news there financially for Morgan that just, I don't know, something doesn't sit right to me with it. It's suspicious. And that's the conclusion I've come to, is that perhaps J.P. Morgan Chase is being positioned for a failure, a massive failure. It would be a massive bank failure in the United States. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the next few months. Just remember, you heard it here first, and again, I could be totally wrong, but we're going to have to wait to find out about that. Guys, I want to thank you all for tuning in, and I'm going to send you out with a little George Carlin.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here. Like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. There's a nice campaign slogan for somebody. The public sucks. Fuck hope. Fuck hope. Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way? We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall, scratching his ass, picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them. So I have solved this little political dilemma for myself in a very simple way. On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. Fuck 'em. Fuck 'em. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The shit they shuffle around every 4 years doesn't mean a fucking thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who, in fact, did not even leave the house on election day, I'm in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is when I get finished masturbating, I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks. Thank you very much.